Today's Daf and Arve Pesachim is Daf Kuf Dalid, and we were talking about, as we've seen in Arve Pesachim, we have an opportunity to be malabein many of the sugyas that are with us all year round, and one of them, the most recently we've been talking about, is the question of Havdola, and actually, how is it that we're mavdil? Why is it that we mention all the things that we do mention at Havdola? So I just wanted to go over with you once again where we were at. Remember, we started the perek on Daf Tzadik Tet Samad Beis, where we were talking about eating on Erev Shabbos, eating on Erev Yontev, eating on Erev Pesach, and Mincha, and Samuch L'Mincha, whether there was any differences between them. Then we moved on to Daf Kuf. We were talking about whether you have to be mafsik your eating if you started Beheter. That machlok is between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, very nogea. And then we had the on Amud Beis, basically the main sugya of Shmuel, who says, actually, you don't have to do either. You don't have to break, but maybe you don't have to just sit and keep going and pretend nothing happened. Don't make Kiddush or don't make Avdola. You could be Pores, Mapa, Umekadesh. Then we moved on Kuf Aleph, Amud Aleph, about making Kiddush in Shul, which brought us to the whole issue of Kiddush B'Mokam Se'udah and what is considered to be Kiddush B'Mokam Se'udah. That brought us at Kuf Aleph Amud Beis to the question of Shinoi Mokam on all types of issues. So is a Shinoi Mokam Mechayev you a new Brocha? Is a Shinoi Yayin Mechayev you a new Brocha? And then on Kuf Beis, we started talking about the difference between what type of things. Just Bori Nefoshes, or brachachas mein sholosh, or even brachachas mein sholosh for things like peirot, or is it only a reference to mamash, birkat hamazon? That was like big machlokas even in the poskim. Then we got into the Ankuf Beis Amud Beis, the question of mitzvahs, doing mitzvahs, chavilot, what things are you allowed to do together as a group? So we talked about Kiddush Vavdola, which obviously we do all the time together when a Shabbos comes out, Erev Yontev, and that is considered to be one mitzvah we came out saying, but that otherwise we're makbid about chavilot. This, by the way, is the reason for the minig of the Ashkenazim to have two completely separate cups at a shever brachas, one in which you make the shever brachas, you pass around the shever brachas, and one which is for the birchas hamazon. But you should just know that the Sfaradim do not do that because they very logically paskin that the shever brachas are actually only part of the Birchas HaMozon, and they're only nigram because of the Sud and the Birchas HaMozon. It doesn't make sense to have two separate kosot to do that. Okay, but anyway, we'll get to the halacha, I hope, today. We're going to have a siyum today, a wonderful siyum by Reb Daniel, and this is in honor of Zikaron Aviv. This is the, believe it or not, the 10th anniversary, which is absolutely incredible. It seems like just yesterday that he took off, and so we'll have a siyum bezrat Hashem, then aliyat neshama le
Albert ben Simcha.
Okay, and then moving on. So we're gonna try to finish this up quickly, so we can do the halacha quickly. It still have time for that siyum, even though it's an Erev Shabbos. And then we started talking yesterday about the din of yayin, kiddush, havdola, ner, Zman and Birkat HaMazon, and what the correct order is to do those things when they all come together. And we were talking also about the Talmidei D'Rav and what is considered to be, this is always called the Psak of the Talmidei D'Rav, and what is considered to be a end of the Seudah. If you say Havlan V'Nivrich, you want to do Birkat HaMazon, which got us into the general issues of Nimlach. If somebody either wasn't relying on the balabayit or giving him another opportunity to drink, so that's always considered to be nimlach, or if you feel that you've already had enough, you're not intending to drink any more wine, then on the next coast you would be mevorech. And then we got to the havdola, because we were listening into havdola, and the question was, why someone would say, and of course this is what we do say, but at the time the question was, why would somebody say, Amavda ben Kodesh l'chol ben Or l'choshech ben Yisrael amim? I mean, we're talking about, I thought, ben Yom HaShvili l'sheshi shmei ma'aseh. Why are we talking about all of these other things? And that's where we were up to today. And the last thing that we had mentioned was that there were three mentionings of out of the seven Havdolas in the Torah, because the minimum number of Havdolas you should mention, and these are primal Havdolas, not just things that seem different, but primal Havdolas, you should mention three, and the maximum that you should mention are all seven of the Havdolas which are mentioned in the Torah, which we're going to be getting to together to define what they are. But we also introduce a new concept of Me'in Chatima, Somuch L'Chatimat HaBracha. And the Me'in Chatima is the way that we end up doing, even though there's a sheet that it says Me'in Peticha. And we said that the difference was whether on a Metzoy Shabbos, that is Erev Yontev, we're over there, the Peticha of the Bracha is Hamavdo Ben Kodesh L'chol. But the end of the Bracha is Hamavdo Ben Kodesh L'kodesh. So is there a need to say before the end of the Bracha, Ben Kedusha Shabbat, the Kedusha Yom Tov, Yivdalta, and the whole thing, Yivdalta, Vekidashta, all of that is just sort of extra of the Me'in Chatima, because once we get into it, you know, it's hard to stop. The main Chatima that the Gemara was talking about was only a reference to the Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh, and we said, the last thing we said yesterday was indeed that's the way that we do it. Because it certainly doesn't hurt to do also a Me'in Chatima. Okay, then today we're going to get back, and let's go one third of the way down, Gufa, and get into the question about these different three or seven, and Bechlal, what exactly are they? Because it's not that obvious what the Sheva Havdolas are in the Torah. So we were up to a Gufa. So yesterday we learned Apochet lo yivchot bishalosh, minimum three mentions of primal Havdolas, and Amosif lo yosif hasheva, basically that's all there are, and if you're saying more than that, you're saying things that don't appear in the Torah. So here is a braita that seems to say not like that. Meitve. Omer Havdolot b'motzei Shabbatot, u'b'motzei Yomim Tovim, u'b'motzei Yom HaKippurim. So you're supposed to say Havdolot, not just the Havdolah, you say Havdolot. And you do this on wherever you make Havdolah. If it's a Motzei Yontev, Motzei Shabbos, Motzei Yom Kippur, and even if it's a Motzei Shabbat that's going into Yontev. Why? Because the Kedushat Shabbat is higher, and therefore you're still being Mavdil between the lower Kedusha of Yontev. However, even B'Motzei Yontev V'Chol HaShomoy, also, as we do. But not from Motzei Yontev into Shabbos. If Shabbos comes out before, after Yontev, so then obviously the Kedusha Shabbos is going up. And then it's inappropriate, if you're welcoming the Shabbos, which is a higher level of Kedusha, it's inappropriate to focus on the Duke, so to speak, or the Prime Minister we spoke about yesterday, who is leaving, and talk about his leaving while the Melech is arriving. So it doesn't make sense, and it doesn't make sense as a real levoy either, because you can't cut the Kedusha in as lower, which is the meaning of the Havdolah, if you're going into a higher Kedusha. There's two issues, therefore, that are involved. The Braita says now, and here's where we got a problem with Rav Hoshaya, the Braita says, look, you know, if you are Ragil, meaning you're a big bucky, and you know like all of the Psukim, and you remember how many different primal Havdolot there are, you can say a lot. But if you're not, so then you only need to say one. Now, wait a minute over here. This is definitely not like Rav Hoshaya. I mean, Rav Hoshaya says the minimum is three. So where does that, I mean, how can Rav Hoshaya say that against the Braita? Says Rav Hoshaya, because the truth is it's really a machlokas tanoim. And not everybody, it's true there is this Braita that says you could even just say one if you want, but it's a machlokas tanoim. How do we know? Because Rav Yochanan said that Benan Shel Kedoshim, Omer Achat, we're going to see who that's referring to. So there was one very holy Tana who would only say one, but Nahagu Ha'am Lomar Shalosh, based on, obviously that means that there are other Tanaim that argue on Benan Shel Kedoshim. So you see that he's referring to a known Shita among the Tanaim, and that you say three. That's what Rav Hoshaya was being Soimechai. Now, who exactly is Benan Shel Kedoshim? Rabbi Menachem Bar Simai. Why do they call him Benan Shel Kedoshim? Delo istakel bitzurata dezuza. Even though the Torah doesn't answer you from having just graven images on a coin, unless they're actually images of Avodah Zarah, he would not look at an engraved image at all. Even if it had nothing to do with just said in God we trust, he wouldn't look at it. Shomach Leir of Shmuel Bar Idi, Chananya Achi Omer Achat. All I know is that my brother Hanania, he says only one halacha, l'maisa, but we don't pass it like that. Let hilchata kavate. We actually go like Rav Hoshaya, and we say three. Amar Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, hamavdil. So here is the basic idea of the primal havdalas. So Rav Yehoshua ben Levi said, hamavdil tzirich shomar me'in havdalot ha'murot ba'torah. You cannot just say things that are different. You have to say things that the Torah defined as requiring the nature of Havdalah. And Havdalah itself is more than just discrimination. It's a primal distinction, which is part of the dualism of the Bria that requires Yichud and therefore clear separation first. So Meitveh. Seder Havdalotech. The Braita over here is going to list the Seder Havdalot, and it's very confusing because it seems to list a number of things that are not really primal Havdalot. So, you say, Hamavdil ben Kodesh l'chol. Okay, I mean, that's all right, because that does say, Lahavdil ben HaKodesh uben HaChol. It says that in the Torah. Ben Or l'choshech. Yep, that's okay. Vayavdil Elohim ben Or ben HaChoshech. Bein Yisrael la'amim, hivdalti etchem min ha'amim liot li, yep, that's okay. Bein Yom HaShvi l'sheshet imei ha'maseh, nope, never says that anywhere. So that's a problem. Now, I mean, that we could explain away by saying that was just the Mi'ein Chatimah, somebody threw it in here, and we're not really including it. But then you'd have to explain, so why the heck did you say it here right in the middle? But that we can explain by saying, because since the norm is to say the first three, Ben Kodesh L'chol, Ben Ol L'chosh B'Yisrael Amim, and then usually have the Chatima, which is Ben Yom HaShvi L'Sheshet Yemei HaMaaseh, so we threw it in. That's okay. Doesn't bother us so much. Ben Tamei L'Tahor. Now, that's okay, because L'Avdil Ben HaTamei Ben HaTahor. That's primal. I mean, that's like one of the big mitzvahs, right? Ben HaYam L'Charava. Whoa, where'd that come from? That's a primal Havdalah? Between the sea and the dry land. I mean, it sounds good, but it don't appear anywhere. So that's something of a problem. Bein mayim elyonim lemayim atachtonim. Okay, yes. Vayavdel elohim bein amayim asher mitachat orakia. Yep, that's good. Bein kohanim lelevi'im v'yisraelim. Okay, I mean, that's also good. I mean, there definitely was. The Gemara is going to bring the psukim that are nogea that. And we'll see that this is really more than one, but right now we think it's one. And then the bracha that you say at the end of your Havdalah is Baruch Atah Hashem Misader Bereshit. Oh, that's a new one, huh? So Soder Bereshit is the nature of the bracha because as soon as Shabbat finished, that was the end of the period of the actual creation. Now, creation does not have a history. And as the Ramchal points out, the fact that it's presented as a history, as if it's part of our time, is only l'saber et ha'ozen. It's only so we should be able to relate to it because we use time, in the famous words of the physicists, we use time as a way of making sure that everything doesn't happen all at once. So basically, the idea of pretending that there's such a thing as time, the way we think about it in Maaseh Bereishis, and we play this little game on the first day and on the second day, and like a Dr. Seuss book, in order to make it possible to relate to the Inyonim of Bria, as the Ramchal puts it. But the real organization of what we see as history, and the most essential, this is a very important Nakuda, the most essential element of history is the fact that it pretends to present cause and effect. Most people don't realize this. We call something history because we have an arrow of time defined by entropy, which allows us to pretend that there is true cause and effect, even where there may be 10,000 Feynman diagrams between striking the match and the match bursting into flames. It's not really anything like that. So it's all somewhat imaginary, and the possible quantum results of something are totally up in the air because anything might happen. And what we do at the end by just making things work out the way we do with our equations, that's what makes history. But what that is a sort of artificial history that requires constant Seder. That Seder, the organization of events so that it appears to us to be very ordered in our minds, is what happens after Maaseh Bereishis. That's the Gemara's incredible insight. And therefore, the most striking thing about the minute after Hamavdil ben Kodesh L'chol is that, oh my God, the world actually makes sense. And that's called Soder Bereshit. What a fantastic bracha. Problem is that most people would have no idea what you're talking about by making a bracha of Soder Bereshit. And because of that, we reject it, as we'll see. But anyway, we're going to talk about that Seder Bereshit. Others say, don't say Soder Bereshit, say Yotzer Bereshit. So it's the creation itself that we see as continuing. And Rabbi Yehuda says, Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Yisrael is what you should say. Now, nobody bothers mentioning Avdolah the way we knew it, which is Amavdu Ben Kodesh L'chol. But okay, so we've got three alternative Avdolahs over here, and we've got a list of things which are being presented as if they're primal Avdolahs, and they're not primal Avdolahs. We have a real problem. So Ve'im Ita, if it's true that we're only allowed to use primal Avdolahs, so then how could you possibly list something like Bein Hayam L'Charabva? I mean, it doesn't say that anywhere in the Torah. And like, I mean, then I might as well make all kinds of other distinctions. So why in the world do we list that? Well, that's true. You better cut that out. Somebody made a big mistake over here. So Sameh Mikan, take it out. Bein Hayam L'Charabva, there's no way for us to do that. Oh, now, wait a minute. If you're telling me that, then that means you're going to have to erase Ben Yom HaShvi L'Sheshet Yomei HaMaaseh too, right? Because, I mean, that is only Me'in Chatima. It doesn't say that anywhere in the Torah. But then you only have six. Then you don't have seven. So now I don't understand. I mean, either we do include them. If we include them all, then we have eight. And if not, we have six. So what's going on over here? Answers the Gemara, because you missed one that is hidden inside the other one, because Kohanim, Leviim, and Yisraelim are actually two separate psukim. Because Bein Leviim LeYisraelim, it says, Ba'eta Yihivdil Hashem et Shevet HaLevi, right? Okay, so that's a lashon of Havdalah. That's clear that there is a primal Havdalah between the Shevet Levi and the rest of the Am Yisrael. But it also, there's also a pasuk to use the same lashon for the Kohanim, even though it doesn't say it in the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, but it does say it in Divrei Hayamim. And over there it says, B'nei Amram Aharon Moshe, Vayibadel Aharon Lahakdisho Kodesh Kodashim. So then that means that after there's a Kedusha as Levi, out of that Kedusha, there's a higher Kedusha of Havdolah on Aharon HaKohen. We use this Gemara to answer for many, many years. We speak about it when we go over the Tetzaveh, that the mitzvah over there of Aaron Achicha, being as it comes prior to the Kedushas Levi, is not the din of the normal kahuna. And that's why it appears over here in different ways. And that's why only at the end do we have the Mizbeach HaZahav, because we didn't have the Kedushas Kahuna yet. And that's the Zer Zahav Saviv, which is the Zer Kahuna, right? Remember that. Okay, anyway, so that's really based on this Gemara that shows that it's a different daraga of Havdalah. Okay, so now we know what they are. Now, what is the correct closing? Because so far we've got four alternatives for what we're supposed to use as the end of the brach. We have our standard Mavdu Ben Kodesh L'chol, which we spoke about Beremez yesterday when we were talking about Me'in Chatima. And it turns out that Remez is very important because it's based on the Mishnah that talks about a Mavdu Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh. And therefore, there clearly is a different nusach in the Chatima besides the three that were mentioned so far over here. And that's going to turn out to be the mokar, according to the Rashbam, of the way that we end up paskening. So, michta mai chatim. So, Rav says, mikadesh Yisrael. Shmuel says, hamavdil ben kodesh l'chol. And Abaye, or some say it was Rav Yosef, were like really upset about using mikadesh Yisrael. And they were liatal. Anybody who used Rav's psak over here, they said, dach, disgusting. And they cursed it out. And Tana Mishmeda Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that actually the best thing to do would be to combine the two. Kol achotei mikadesh Yisrael v'amavdil ben kodesh l'chol. If you put the two together, that's great because you got a long bracha, so you're given a long life in exchange for that long bracha, you know? So, ma'arichin lo yamav u'shnotav, it's much easier than going to gym another time a week. Just use that bracha on Mitzvah Shabbos, And there you go. You've increased your lifespan. However, we don't paskin like that, and therefore do go to gym an extra day. V'let hilchata kavate, we don't paskin like that. The reason we don't paskin like that is because of another Gemara, which says that we never use, we had this back in Brachas, never mix metaphors. That is, if you're talking about a bracha has to have a clear cut theme. This is one of the things that we speak about in the Parashat HaShavua as well. Don't start telling me that there's a bunch of different themes. They have to be fundamentally related. So we do not make a bracha that seems to mix two issues. Now, Ula once came to Pumbedisa, and he was there for Shabbos, and Rav Yehuda says to Rav Yitzchak, his son, oh my gosh, we have got a fantastic opportunity because Ula's in town and we got to find out how he paskins about this Havdalah jazz. There's so many shittas coming around over here and everybody's bringing this psak and that psak. Okay, how will we get into Ula to see how it is that he's going to make Havdalah? I got a great idea. Okay, take this bowl of fruit, he makes this beautiful bowl of fruit, and bring it as a welcome to Ula. Right after Shabbos, he's going to have to make Havdalah in order to eat the fruit. He's not going to not eat and be Makir Teva. So then you'll be there while he's making Havdalah. And then you'll get a great chance to give us over what was Halacha L'maisa, what did Ula do? So Zila Amtilek HaKala DePeri, and take a look at how he's Mavdil. So Rav Yitzchak didn't go himself. Rav Yitzchak sends Abaye, who was his Chavrusa, you know. And when Abaye came back, so Rav Yitzchak says, so what did he say? So Abaye said, all he said was, Baruch HaMavdil ben Kodesh L'chol. He didn't say anything else. He just said, Baruch HaMavdil ben Kodesh L'chol. Now, it's, the question is whether it says too low or not in the Gemara. If it says too low, then it's mashma that that's it. He didn't say any of the Havdolas and so on. Tosfos, however, does not have that girsa. And he says, Ula, when he says over here, HaMavdil ben Kodesh L'chol, that was just the beginning, and he said all of the Havdalahs, but he didn't end with another bracha, and he didn't feel that it was a bracha arichta. Okay, so it's a machlokas how exactly to understand the Gemara. Yes, we'll see as we go along. It's a little bit of a problem at the end of the sugya. How are you going to understand? Okay, Rav Yitzchak comes to his father, you know, so you brought him the fruit. What did he say? So he says, well, actually, I didn't go, but I did send a Abaye. And Abaye came back and he told me, Amavdu ben Kodesh L'chol. So now we have the information. Information, says his father. Are you out of your mind? Information? Get the hell out of here. You know what I think about you? My great master of a son, Rav Renute Demar, your stuck up master, Sararute Demar, and your unwillingness to ever do what you're supposed to do, you stuck up no good, Nick. I'll tell you what it's caused you now. You have been locked out of this Shmua forever, okay? And for thousands of years, people are going to be learning this sugya, you know, and you think that you're going to, they're going to be quoting Rav Yitzchak, right? He's the one who said, Rav Yitzchak, Amar Ula, Amar. No, they're going to be quoting Abaye forever. So that means your lips are not going to be moving for the next thousands of years. This was worth it? To save yourself the tircha, to live in the moment, and to ask Abaye to go, it's beyond belief. It is so outrageous. You have no awareness of what this means. You cut yourself out of life because you're a bum. Gormale Lamar, it's like very sarcastic. My great master has now caused you this unbelievable hefse. People are not going to be saying this over from generation to generation in your name, and I had given you that opportunity. I can't believe I have a son like this. Oh, gosh. Anyway, life is tough. So, Meitve, I don't know that we have, like, any other bawling out like this one. Meitve, the question was against Ula from this Braita. Ko abrachot kulan poter bevoruch v'chotem behem bevoruch. Now, this is a very important general rule. The general rule is every bracha begins with a baruch and closes with a baruch, except for a few special brachas, which turn out to be 99% of all the brachas. But okay. Except for these odd brachas, like, you know, birchas hamitzvahs and Birchat HaPeirot, which include all Birchot Nenim, and any Brochas Smucha L'Chaverta, which include all the Birchas Kriyat Shema, includes all the Brochas of Shemoneh Esrei. I mean, when you go through the Mea Brochas B'chol Yom and you try to figure out where are all of the Brochas that are Poteach B'Baruch U'Misayim B'Baruch, you're going to have a very rough time. But anyway, that's the rule. The rule is they always open with Baruch and they always end with Baruch, except for these rare exceptions which cover all the other Brochas. Namely, just about all of them. So, if you're talking about the Birchas HaMitzvahs, you're talking about the Birchas HaPeres, so over there, obviously, it's very simple. Le'itatev pitzitzit, shakol ni'eh bidvaro, whatever, right? And then you have the Brocha Achrona shebekriyat Shema. Now, obviously, it's not only the Brocha Achrona shebekriyat Shema, because only the opening Brocha starts with the Baruch, Yotzer Or, or whatever. But the point is that the opening brachas of Kriyat Shema, obviously, the second brachas of brachas smucha l'chaverta. But I would have thought that since you've got this whole Kriyat Shema in the middle, so then you ought to begin with a Baruch Atah Hashem when you're talking about the bracha of Emet V'Yatziv. So therefore, we have to list this as a separate thing because it's a chiddush that Kriyat Shema is considered to be a direct continuation of the brachas before Kriyat Shema, and as the Rashbam explains, look, the very fact that you're not allowed to be mafsik between Hashem Elokechem and Emet V'Yatziv because of the posik of Hashem Elokechem Emet, so because of that, it seems to include the bracha as an extension with the Kriyat Shema that came directly after Ohevet Amo Yisrael. So that would be the reason that we list it separately. So out of the above, some of them open with a Baruch, but they don't close with a Baruch. Obviously, none of the Brochas on the Peres or Brochas HaMitzvahs, they don't close with a Baruch. Because to close with a Baruch, there needs to be something that you're talking about in the Brocha, like a bakosha of some type of tefillah, or some type of shevach v'hodoya. So then you close the bracha with the me'ein ha'pticha, with the whole question of introducing an end and all of that, which is much more complicated. So those are not chotem b'baruch. Now, some of them are chotem b'baruch, such as the bracha smucha l'chaverta and so on. All of those have an ending, but they don't open. Now, there's one thing that you would think is a violation of this rule, and that is the fourth bracha of Birkat HaMazon, which is Hatov V'Hameitiv. Now, that is not really part of the original three brachas. And because of that, it does open with Baruch, which you would think it shouldn't, because it should just be a continuation of Bonei Barachem of Yerushalayim, or Bonei Yerushalayim. And the fact is, we say Amen there to be Mafsik. So that's the end of the three brachas, the Araisa, Bonei Yerushalayim, Amen. That means that the next thing that we're saying is a new bracha. And of course, it came at the time of Beitar, and it was Metukan for the Tova Meitiv, that they were Lo Hisrichu, and that they were Zachu L'Kvura. So because of that, it starts with Baruch. But the question is, it's a very long bracha. So why doesn't it end with Baruch? If it's its own independent bracha, I mean, Ala Oretz V'Ala Mazon, Bonei Yerushalayim, and it should say over here, Baruch HaTova Meitiv again at the end, right? So it does not, in that, therefore we mention it specifically, because it says over here, that it doesn't end with the Baruch. And the reason, of course, is because really all that we're doing all through this bracha is mentioning the Tov HaMeitiv. So that when we start with the Heitiv, Meitiv, Yetiv, Gemel, and so on and so forth, Baruch, all of those things that we repeat that are Shalosh, the repetition, are all repetitions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hatova and Chesed and so on. So that's not viewed as ever having changing anything in the middle. It's all about the incredible Hatova. So it does not require, even though it's long, it does not require an end. Okay. Now, well, meanwhile, we've got a problem here to Ula, because Ula said Baruch Atah, if the way to understand it is that all he said was the beginning, and he didn't say an end, and we've got all of this other stuff in there, why didn't he say an end? Because you said all brachas say an end. Because Havdalah is like a regular Birchas HaMitzvahs. Why is it that we don't have an end in the Birkat HaMitzvahs? My timer. Because basically, they're very, very direct and simple. They take one focus. They express our excitement and gratitude at the opportunity for having this mitzvah. And that's basically, Birkas HaMitzvah is all a hodah. It's all very simple. So therefore, it's a monotheme. And if it's a monotheme, without introducing anything else, so then this is a monotheme of keeping a simple havdalah. What did I add? All I did is I said havdalahs. So there's no point in my ending. That was the issue of Ula. Okay, so that concludes our limud of the Gemara today. However, we have time, Baruch Hashem. The question is one of the primal havdalahs having the actual picture of Gavi versus having just the words, the Gabai of the Rebbe Shlita, or do we not list that? I don't know, maybe he's not listening. Okay. Anyway, let's take a look and go back here to some of the inyanim that we did not finish. From what I recall, we basically, where did we get up to? I think we were still in the middle of the sugya of Shinui Mokom, if I'm correct. We did do some of it. So I think we had mentioned the machlokas, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramah, about how we paskin over here. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rif, who paskins like Rav Sheshet. And Rav Sheshet is the one who says that any type of Shinui Mokom is going to be Mechayev of you. And that would mean even a Brocha to Una Brocha Achareim of any kind is always Mechayev of you. Which is a tremendous chumrah in terms of the need to make another bracha, and that's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. Whereas the Ramah paskins like Tosfos, and Tosfos, of course, is throughout the sugya over here, has been very, very makel on this issue, and he's paskined against Rav Sheshet, he paskined like Rav Chisda, and as a matter of fact, we saw that there was also machlokas, whether we go even to say as long as you're making a bracha, mein sholosh, even on peirot. So, the Ramah paskins like Tosfos. However, as I mentioned last time we did the halacha, the Gra says that it would not apply to Perot. It's got to be Mizonot. So if that's the case, nonetheless, it's a Suffolk bracha, right? So we wouldn't make a bracha because of the differences in the Psak. So according to the Ramah, basically, if you move to another place, as long as it's any bracha that was kovea, the Ksu'udah b'mekomo, you would not make another bracha. Now the question is whether the minig has become to go according to the Ramah. And everybody is sort of very makel in Shinui Mokom because of the Ramah. Now, Chacham Ben Tzion Abba Shaul, who was a wonderful, wonderful neighbor of mine, who became one of the great poskim of the Sfardim. He wrote a very huge sefer, which is Or Mitzion. He paskins for his Talmidim, and many, many now are noyag like them, that there's no reason why Sfardim should have a right to be semich on the Ramah. And this, and the minig of being semich on the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch, means that Sfaradim should be makpid to paskin like Rav Sheshet against Rav Chisda, according to the Shulchan Aruch, and therefore require a bracha even on dvarim that are koveya bracha b'mekoma. Okay, so many are noeg like this. The question is, does it help to have in mind that you're going to want to be doing this in another place? Doesn't matter, says the Rush. The question is, when we were talking about what constitutes a different place, so over there we saw that in terms of that machlokas, does a different room in the same house, mecheder lecheder, remember there was a difference in gersos, whether mipina lepina is what the gersa was, or mibayit lebayit. So the question over here is from one room to another, where over there, there is a shita that holds, it's bechlal not considered to be a shinui makom. So then to be semich on the fact that if you had a das to go into the other cheder, that's already combining two reasons to be mekel and not to make a bracha. And there's even, Reb Shlomo Zalman points out that nowadays, the way that houses are constructed and people's minag is actually to view the different rooms in their house all as one room. And they don't feel they're going somewhere else, you know, for the living room, dining room. Certainly, there's a whole different shaila. I think it was in the,
I don't want to say me. I think it was one of the recent Pesachim in Switzerland, that the Paskin to go into the kitchen is Vadai from the kitchen. We always go into the kitchen to bring things in. That's not even considered to go into a different room. But in any event, Reb Shlomo Zalman Zatzal Paskin, that nowadays it's always as if he had in his mind to go into a different room. So because of that, the minig has become, as the Mishnah Berurah writes in the Bir Halacha, that it seems to me that people have become very makel in this, and that's the minig, that people will go from room to room and take for granted that it's considered to be a not a shinui makom, and it's all considered to be one place. Now, we had the other machlokas, remember, because the question is where you did leave, okay? So remember that Tosu says that the Gemara that says that you're supposed to say a bracha achrona before you leave, and then when you come back, you make a new bracha rishona. Remember that Tosfos learned the only reason that you have to make that bracha achrona before you leave is because we're afraid you will not come back in time. And you're going to end up forgetting about your bracha achrona, and you won't say a bracha achrona. So memela will remachai of you. But it's not that you need to always make a bracha achrona to finish an achila before you make a bracha rishona to begin a new achila. That is Tosfos Shita. So therefore, in the event that you left and you did not make a bracha achrona, when you come back and you need to make a bracha rishona, says Tosfos, you do not need to go ahead and make a bracha achrona before making the bracha rishona. And the bracha achrona that you make at the end, whatever that bracha achrona is, will potter all of the achilas that you had that are included in that bracha at the end. So it doesn't make sense to say a bracha. Fine. That's Tosfos Shita. However, not everybody agrees, and it appears that the Rambam doesn't agree. It's not such a clear psak, but in any event, the Shulchan Aruch Paskin is that you do need to make a bracha achrona before making the bracha rishona. The Ramah, however, Paskin is like Tosfos, that you do not. In which case, that explains why the Ashkenazim do not. And here again, many of the Sfarim have taken on the Ramah in this case. As a matter of fact, even the Kaf HaChaim mentions the fact that, and supports the fact that people are relying on the Ramah in this case, even if there's Sfardim. And some say that it wouldn't apply on anything, maybe just on Tath and so on. Okay. There's all types of kulas with combinations. If you didn't eat a kezias in the first place and then stuff like that, whether your das lechatchila helps and so on. And the mashma'ut is that according to the way the Ramah explains things over here, which is the way the Mishnah Berurah says that he thinks this is the meaning of the Ramah, that according to the Shulchan Aruch, you would have to make a burin of farshas on your original achila. And you're not even semich on the burin of farshas for two things, not only on things like pot, you know? So, I mean, but that would mean that according to the Ramah, you had a drink, you're going to go to a new place, you're making another bracha because there was a shinui makom, even if you come back to your place, you don't have to make a bara nefarshas. You can eat your new thing with the new bracha, make a bara nefarshas at the end of all of your achilas. So there's also another interesting question, which the Gemara didn't discuss, but it's like really interesting. Suppose, remember, we talked about if you leave people behind, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that the people behind are therefore enough for you to be considered to be koveya midas. So there you're going back to your original achila. But is that only in the case that Rabbi Yehuda was talking about, which was the case of dvarim that need a bracha achrayim bimakoma? Or would it help even on a bar in the farshas? Aha! So that's an interesting question. You have a bunch of people sitting together, and they're drinking, or they're eating apples, and whatever, right? And now you leave Mixas Chaverim. So some taina that since Alibet or Biuda, Mixas Chaverim are the equivalent of a continuation of the Seuda, then it would be true even for apples. And if you'd be walking out and so on, you could rely on that. So, wow. Okay, then there's also a question about lechatchila, what is right to do. I mean, suppose you have in mind to walk out of a meal and you want to finish your seuda somewhere else. So lechatchila, you should not do that unless your das was lechatchila to do that, which of course is considered to be the norm if you're in a wedding or something like that, where it's insane to stay till the end of the wedding. So, and we understand that the das of everybody is to finish up. But some taina that you cannot go out to eat somewhere else, even if your kavana was to finish the suda, unless you intend to actually eat a kezias of pot in the new place where you go to. And because of that, you know, there are those who are machmir not to get into this problem. Now, the question is, what if you're carrying the food with you? You're eating an apple. Okay, you walk out of your house, you have the apple in your hand, you're still eating the same apple. So the Mishnah Berurah paskens that it's still considered to be shinui mokom anyway. And there are other poskim, recent poskim, that paskin not like that. The Kaf HaChayim paskin is not like that. If you're actually holding it in your hand, you can't consider that to be a new achila. So it turns out to be, because of that, a suffik brachas. And therefore, many people are worried about, okay, I don't want to get into a situation of a suffik brachas. But what about if you're actually eating it? So that means you're chewing on the apple as you're walking, right? So now, I mean, you can't possibly say, unless there's something magical about, and it has nothing to do with Hesach Hadas in any way, it would be the equivalent of Hesach Hadas, that being in a new place is as if you have an entirely new relationship to what it is that you're eating. I mean, which is possible. However, Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal paskind that even according to the Mishnah Berurah, who is machmir about holding the apple, that you can, if you're eating the apple as you go, it would not be considered to be a shinui mokum. Okay, and there's other shitas among the Rishonim that are good to be aware of in terms of being mitzarif them when you have to paskin halacha, what it is to do. Like, for instance, there's a Ritva who says that if you only are going out to speak to somebody for a minute and you have to come back in, you left your family, you're in the middle of the suda, you left your wallet, some say even. So if there's something that is mechayev of you to come back, that would be the equivalent of leaving mixes chaverim over there, it would not be mechayev of you, a new bracha. I don't want to not leave enough time for our siyum, but I think we have enough time just to talk about what is the din of Mokom l'mokom. And as we said, that there's a big machlokas. Now, basically, the Magen Mishnah holds it, the Rambam holds, like the Rashi elsewhere, who says that mokom l'mokom means something like going from your roof or from the bayit into the aliyah and so on. There are others who learn that it would be even if from one corner of a room, if you were koveya achila there to another, which thank God we don't paskin that. But there are those who hold, as I said, that in the same room, that's Tosfos, in the same room, it's okay. But even Micheder L'Cheder, it would be considered to be a Shinui Mokum. As I mentioned, the Shulchan Aruch is Machmir on that. So again, I mean, the question is who you want to rely on. And as I mentioned to you before, if your das was, or if the norm is to go from one Cheder L'Cheder, so then you can definitely rely on that, and you wouldn't be chayav. But how about if you're on the road? So if you're on the road, then for sure there's no such thing as a kviyas of the mokim. And over there, if you're eating a sandwich, over there, even a chatchila, maybe we see this for many gemaras, you're allowed to be walking on the road, and you make your birkat hamazon in the place where you complete it. And you're allowed to go out lechatchila, and we don't say, oh, so then every five steps I'm going to have to make a new bracha because I'm going mimokom lomokom. Because as long as the beginning of the achila was on this das, and it's not that you started eating in a house and you just want to walk out now, you could do that if you had in mind lechatchila on pot. Because you remember the pot bread is something that is as if it's kavua with you as long as you're doing it. But if it's talking about other things, then it's only if you're mamish on the road from the beginning. We also had mentioned very briefly the din of shinu yayin, and I mentioned to you at that time, we said shinu yayin eino tzarech bracha, that seems to be talking about only the din of bari pri hagafen. But the shinui yayin, when it comes to atov ha-meitiv, remember, that's all different sugya that we had in brachas. That was like a big issue about what is considered to be shinui yayin. That's big machlokas. Is shinui yayin considered to be only from one type of grape to another type of grape? Is shinui yayin mechayev brocha tova metiv only if it is of significantly higher quality than the original wine? Or could it just be the difference itself? These are all machlokas. And then the questions of, does it have to be that your das was not aware of the other wine that you were going to be bringing, which is like a real Ashkenazim problem? The Sfaradim get to make this Tov HaMeitiv so much more often because, I mean, even some of their poskim even allow a Birchas HaTov HaMeitiv on grape juice from wine because for some people it's easier to drink grape juice. I mean, that's like really lots of HaTovah and lots of Meitiv there. So there's sometimes it's really kedai to change your identity if you're an Ashkenazi and have much more fun as a Sfaradi